Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, Juneteenth, 19, 2023. And I shouldn't make light of that. I mean, it was a very real deal and so forth, and you know, and we get to pay reparations because of it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, hey, what can I say? Hi, Butch.
Hey, we're paying reparations now. We're paying for bankers and post office employees not to work. So we're paying for it already.
There you go.
Tax not all, pay for that.
But not all of them are.
Not all of them. Well, the federal employees are off. I know that. Which, and as far as that goes, especially in the Congress side of it, I don't care if they never show up again. But anyway, it is what it is. But we're here today, and I'm glad to be with you, Melody.
Yes, me too. We didn't get the day off.
Nope. My boss
markets
said
were
no.
Closed. Markets were closed today, so nothing traded today. Gold after markets traded a little bit, but not much. You know, so there was a little pressure in that market, but you know, tomorrow still remains to be seen what it might be. So we're still holding gold at 1951 and silver's over 24.02. So, you know, not a bad day for, you know, markets not closing. And I don't know what time it closed. It was early afternoon, maybe 1:30 it closed. Other than that, there's not much to talk about as far as the markets. A couple little things. I'm not sure if you have. The U.S. national debt hits $32
trillion. Yep, I got that. Yep.
And I'm really glad they, you know, did a whole lot with the debt ceiling suspended, because the national debt's up $572 billion, $500 billion already. But, hey, what can I say? They wouldn't lie to us, would they?
Well, we know that with McCarthy, Speaker of the House, and what's going on, he got the best deal he could.
Oh, of course, yes.
You know, we can totally trust both sides. You know, so don't worry about it. I mean, we'll be fine. You know, and
it does.
It's just amazing to me that the American people and never seem to really learn. But I have to say this to also, I guess, a lot of them are getting fed up with the status quo. They're starting to realize that both parties are basically the same. In a lot of areas, although I did hear a senator from Texas, my mind's going blank on his name now, run for president. My goodness, why am I can't think of his name. Senator.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Senator from Texas, the run for president.
Cruz.
Yeah, he grilled the FBI assistant. He grilled the FBI assistant administrator really rough on the interview in the Senate, asking direct questions about hidden evidence on Biden and his crime family, and two or three others really hit hard on some different guests there about what's going on behind the scenes. So I have to give him credit for the stand they took and asking some very hard questions that the ones they questioned would not answer. They would dance around it, and finally he said, "You're just not going to answer it, are you?" But anyway, so it was a good interview by Cruz and a couple others on different people that were before the Senate. So I give him credit for that. Thank goodness that they had enough guts to ask the right questions. And
yeah, but you know what? That's all fine and dandy, Butch. And that's what I always liked when Ron Paul was in there. He always asked those tough questions. So what? What do they do with the information? They don't do anything with it.
They don't. Cruz asked FBI.
So what's the point?
I agree to him. He asked FBI gentleman who went to jail because of this. Who's in jail because of the, I think, 280,000 people who were investigated illegally. Who went to jail because of this? Of course, nobody has. And he hit him pretty hard that question. Why won't you answer my question? Who went to jail because of this? So he did do a pretty tough question series on that. I thought he...
Yeah, but it's his job, though, too.
It is his job. It is his job.
It's, you know?
But while he was doing it, and he mentioned Brother Senators there, this roll in their eyes, because they didn't like the way the question was going. But I will give him credit for being come down pretty hard on him, and I like that part of it. I do. And getting to speak to his dad, Senator Cruz's dad, on the phone, on the radio show, and in person a couple times on the phone. His dad's a fine Christian man who was deceived by Castro many years ago. Deceived by him. He mentioned, he said, "I was suckered about Castro."
Trump said his father was involved in the JFK
assassination.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear that part. But I just watch these things and I try to glean through some things, Melody, looking for a little bit of sunshine coming through all this gloom.
Well, you know what? If you're trying to find sunshine here, I'll make sure that the clouds come out.
it just ain't enough of it to make it to warm the day up. Period. That's all there is to it. Same game, different day.
You know, I know, but you know what? I like to look, but I don't want to be deceived by these people.
No. After all the years we've been deceived, it's time to get our eyes open.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like yeah. I mean, I love seeing that too. But it's a show. It's entertainment for us. That's the way I look at it. That's what they do. And it helps get them reelected. You know, because if they didn't ask those tough questions, well, would they don't do anything about it?
I know. That is the truth. That is the truth.
Because they can't do anything about it. I mean, just once in a while, it would be nice. It would be nice if these Republicans did what the Democrats do to Trump. Just once to some, you know. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, it is what it is. And the foreign markets, they didn't do much today either. Any change on those?
I don't know. It's...
I'm just curious about that.
I'm surprised they're not closed too, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, give them a chance. Give them a chance.
Yeah. They won't open for me. Let me see. Oh, they were down a little bit in Europe, Asia. The Nikkei was down the most, but, you know, it's been roaring. So, you know, so, yeah, European markets were down a little bit. The DAX was down 156 points, but, you know, it was nothing. You know, they're not going to do a whole lot when the U.S. markets are down. So, not a whole lot to, as far as the markets are concerned. We just talked about the debt. Let's see if there's any other. You know, everybody's still looking at Powell's testimony for, you know, it's just such a joke. Stock rally stalls, eyes on Powell testimony for U.S. rate clues. It's like, you know what, folks? It's not going to matter.
No, it's not.
U.S. home builder sentiment turns positive in June. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Some more lies. It really isn't. Wasn't much. A lot of it was about China today.
Yeah, there's a little bit here. Wasn't a whole lot of news as far as financial news goes at all. But I've got a few headlines here. If you want me to start sharing them, the first one I want to share because West Virginia is mentioned in a favorable light, which is very rare for this state. So if you'd like me to start, I'll get started on some stories.
Go right ahead.
These are the best states to be a gun owner in 2023. By the way, they estimate there are 433 million guns in U.S. households. That's a lot, and I like it. But these are counting from the least favorite to the best rated states to be own guns in. They start at number 25. We don't go through all 50. We're going from 25 down to 1 in this order. Iowa is number 25, then Utah, then Georgia, then Ohio, then Florida, which I thought would rank higher than that, but they didn't, Arizona, Kansas, Tennessee, Indiana, Kentucky, Alabama, Alaska, Maine, Wyoming, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, Arkansas. The number two, next to the top, was West Virginia. And the number one state for gun ownership is New Hampshire. But I'm going to read, if you don't mind, about West Virginia. And that's one of the things we got right in this state. We got a lot of things wrong. We have a lot of things wrong in our state. But West Virginia allows those over the age 21 to permitless carry, while those over 18 can apply for provisional CHL. The state's CHLs carry handgun licenses that are valid in 38 of the states, while those traveling from all 50 states are permitted to carry firearms with their state license. Residents will need to pass a gun safety course to obtain the CHL. So 18 or 21 or under, you got to get a CHL and pass a course. West Virginia does recognize all 50 other states. If they have a carry permit, they can carry in this state openly. West Virginia doesn't require additional background checks aside from federal ones, and there is no need to register firearms. Citizens may also be protected from criminal and civil liability under the state's stand your ground laws. There's also no duty to retreat. As of July 2021, most firearms and ammunition are exempt from the state's sales tax, but not every firearm gets a pass on taxes. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice recently signed legislation that allows CHL holders to carry firearms on college campuses. Legislative actions that remove firearm restrictions are a good indicator that this state will remain on the list for some time. I like that about this state. That's one thing we have got right now. And I do carry. I carry mostly open, sometimes concealed, depending on where I'm going to be. And it makes me feel good that I have cops or friends of mine. One of them works out in the gym with me quite regularly. A state trooper is all for this. He said more people that are of good moral character would carry and make our job much easier. Unfortunately, a lot of people carry that aren't that moral people, so that's why you got to have good guys with guns to stop bad guys with guns. But I wanted to share that about our little state, West Virginia. Not that there makes much news at all, except Bob Huggins, our head basketball coach at West University, resigned because of drunk driving.
DUI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DUI. And so I want to say about that. He's
had a lot of issues, though, too.
He did.
He had a DUI, 2003 or something like that.
Yeah, he did. So, I mean, I don't know the man, and I'm not into basketball that much, but I don't know the whole story behind him. He was, a good coach. He's one of the most winning coaches out there, period, in history. So, whatever it is, we don't make the news very often. Normally when we do, it's not good news. So this was kind of good news.
Well, you know, I do have a report that I found it was interesting, you know, because we have this administration who wants nothing but to go without fossil fuels, and also the Ukraine and so forth. And now, you know, the U.S. is paying billions of dollars to Russia's nuclear agency.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Why
yes.
Not?
Yes. In a Pentagon-sized facility nestled in the Appalachian Valley, thousands upon thousands of empty holes lined the bare concrete floor. A mere 16 of them house the spindly 30-foot-tall centrifuges that enrich uranium, converting it into the key ingredient that fuels nuclear power plants. They are dormant. If each hole housed a working centrifuge, the facility would get the United States out of a predicament that has the implications for both the war in Ukraine and, of course, Americans' transition away from burning fossil fuels. Today, American companies are paying around $1 billion a year to Russia's state-owned nuclear agency to buy the fuel that generates more than half of the United States' emission-free energies. It is one of the most significant remaining flows of money the U.S. is sending to Moscow. And, you know, it's interesting is because our reliance on nuclear power is primed to grow. But no American-owned company enriches uranium. The United States once dominated the market until a swirl of historical factors, including an enriched uranium buying deal between Russia and the United States designed to promote Russia's peaceful nuclear program after the Soviet Union's collapse, enabled Russia to corner half the global market. And the United States ceased enriching uranium entirely. But building a new enriched uranium supply chain would take years and significantly, of course, more funding. There's a facility in Piketon, Ohio. It stands nearly empty more than a year into Russia's war in Ukraine. So roughly a third of enriched uranium using U.S. is imported from Russia. The company that operates the Ohio plant says it could take more than a decade for it to produce quantities that rivaled Rosatom, the Russian nuclear agency. Your Senator Joe Manchin, that's why I brought this up. We cannot be held hostage by nations that don't have our values, but that's what has happened. You know, and of course he goes on because he wants something because it has a lot to do with the coal also. And did you know that one American company, TerraPower, which was founded by Bill Gates, has had to delay the opening of what could be the United States' first new age nuclear plant by at least 2 years, in part because it has pledged to not use Russians enriched uranium. So TerraPower's facility will be built on the site of a coal burning plant in remote Kemmerer, Wyoming, to be decommissioned in 2025. You know, it's, you know, I mean, the story goes on, and you got Manchin in there, here and there, dealing with it and so forth. And it's just like, so, you know, it's the U.S., we're beholden to everybody. Everyone. And you know what? And they don't want to build they don't want to enrich uranium here. No, they just want to take it from Russia through Ukraine. Let's start a war with you. And I'm not sure that's the only reason, but
that's definitely one of them.
Kind of makes you wonder. Could be one of them.
And of course, what happened in this country becoming dependent on the foreign powers was not an accident. We know that. It started clear back in the 70s, not before. They started farming out our productions all over the world. Because you said many times, the price is cheaper have it made in China or Mexico than was to make it here. It made the businesses can make more profit. Now we farmed it all out. Now we can't even feed ourselves. As you said, we can't make our own nuclear the provisions. We can't do any of that now. We have become, as far as production goes, a third-class country. We truly have.
And I'll tell you what, I saw the television this morning when Blinken was in China and he's meeting with Xi, and you know he walks up to him with a big old outreached for a handshake. And I'll tell you what, when I looked at that picture, I truly saw Xi standing there. He breathed power. He exhaled power. And I'm thinking, is it just because of what I know and what I think is going to happen that I'm seeing this? And Blinken just looked like he was this little person that was supposedly representing the United States of America. And it's just like, you could see where the power, who held the power. I could anyway.
Of course, in all areas, militarily, economically, every other way. You mentioned about the countries don't represent our values. What values does America have today? What moral values can you count on America to bring forth that are something that's worth keeping or fighting for? This next article got here, state Democrats.
Well, what values does Manchin have? I
agree.
You know.
Senate Democrats introduced a bill to spend $25 million to train more abortionists. So it's break time already. Wow.
Yes, it is. We're working, and we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It is Monday, July.
don't rush it.
Oh, time just goes by so fast. June 19th. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows we're live today, even though the rest of the U.S. is closed for the day. And, you know, just before you go on to your next story, this will be real brief. I just saw a headline here where Blinken, before Xi, said that the spy balloon chapter should be closed. I mean, can you believe it? I mean, here's this balloon going over this country, and they just want to close the deal and forget about it. Because they can't do anything else.
There's nothing they can do. I mean, they fly clear across
China's
country.
China's not going to allow them to do anything else.
No.
We're already getting orders from China. As I said last week, World War III has already started. But go ahead.
Well, I just don't understand. They knew exactly. I mean, they knew what it was from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they allowed it to come clear across the country. Allowed it to cross the country for what reason? Or it might fall on somebody. No, bull. Bull. I mean, don't give
me
that
stuff. Well,
there's
probably a few out there that... Well, that's not a very nice
thing. Well, anyway, just but out yeah, with no point
know,
into that.
But
anyway. They were afraid to shoot down the early. I do believe they had a plan with China, let them spy on this country and get by with it. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
So there you go. But anyway, Back to America's values that the Manchin mentioned. Senate Democrats Tammy Baldwin and Patty Murray have introduced a bill to spend $25 million training new, I call them murderers, abortionists. The bill, called the Reproductive Health Care Training Act, what a name, was introduced on Thursday and would provide for the establishment of an education program to expand murder care, training, and access. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, women in Wisconsin were sent back to 1849, living under a criminal murder ban. I thought a murder was bad whether it was unborn or not. But anyway, but the impact didn't stop there. Doctors have been barred from providing the care they have been trained to perform, and medical students and faculty are being forced to travel out of state for training. In order for women to exercise their right and freedom to control their bodies, and you know, I could save them a lot of trouble if they listen to what I'm saying about controlling the body. I could save them a lot of trouble. But anyway, doctors need the proper reproductive health and care training, says Senator Baldwin in the press release about the bill. The Reproductive Health Care Training Act will bolster the pipeline of these needed doctors by easing the burden that out-of-state training presents and supporting the medical programs that are seeing an influx of individuals that need training. So we're going to cover this more maybe on spending in just a minute, but we're going on a whole another few $1 trillion this year, like $1.4 trillion this year, but we're going to spend $25 million of it training people on how to kill babies. There you go. So just thought I'd share that. That's American values that Manchin is so afraid we're losing. That we can't uphold. When it comes to morality, folks, America's values are almost nothing. They're not there. We are the one sending the Revelation 18 talks about this. Read it in your Bible. We're the one sending every foul demon and spirit around the world. That's end time America that's doing that, and we are end time Babylon that's doing this. Revelation 18. Read it for yourself. Now, you already mentioned the national debt, but I thought this is worth sharing. U.S. national debt hits all-time high of $32 trillion. The U.S. national debt has surpassed $32 trillion for the first time in U.S. history. The U.S. the national debt as of June 16th is at all-time high of $32.4 trillion, according to the Treasury Daily Statement. This represents about $25 trillion in debt held by public and about $7 trillion in intergovernmental debt. It comes less than 2 weeks after President Joe Biden signed into law the Fiscal Responsibility Act. What a joke, Melody. What a name to give it, a Fiscal Responsibility Act. So no big deal. We're breaking record spending, but we're going to be responsible with this money. One provision of the June 3rd legislation suspends the debt ceiling for 19 months, which means the government can continue to borrow money until the end of 2024. The debt limit was previously increased in December 2021 to $31.4 trillion. Every time they have this hoopla, we're going to shut down the government. We're going to lose your checks. Every time they do this, it's the same thing over and over and over again. It's a game, folks, they played my lifetime and beyond. On June 3rd, the total national debt was $31.47 trillion, but the business day, immediately after Biden signed the bill, federal borrowing increased by $400 billion in 1 day. The Congressional Budget Office projects the federal deficit for fiscal year 2023 will be $1.4 trillion. Now, that's fiscal responsibility, is it not, Melody?
I'm sure glad they all came together.
Well, me too. We can afford it. We can afford it if they didn't. I mean,
and these are the numbers now. It's going to be much higher than that, particularly if we go through any type of, you know, if markets, when we go into recession later this year and so forth, and, you know, a few too big to fail businesses need some. I mean, we're hoping it stays within that realm, but it's not going to.
It never has. I don't think in my lifetime they've ever had a balanced budget. They talked about it. Remember under Reagan they were going to balance a budget? Remember that? That was a big, one of the big campaign things. We're going to balance a budget in America. Well, the only way they balanced it was raising taxes. They didn't cut back, they raised taxes. They still didn't balance it. But under Reagan, we had one of the biggest tax increases in the history of the country to balance the budget. Well, you know, if you can increase your income, You don't have to decrease your outgo, do you?
Nope.
So there you go, folks. This is common sense. But Americans, I'm afraid, as a whole, don't have a lot of common sense left. And with every dollar that you spend over, it causes more inflation, and people having a harder time just keeping food on the table. This next story says homeless numbers rise in the U.S. cities. Wall Street Journal Review finds sharper increases than in recent years as pandemic-era protections end and housing costs climb. I'll make a comment on it, too, by the way. You remember when they had the rent freeze and the rent-free through the COVID mess that the landlords couldn't make their clients pay their rent? Mm-hmm. It, wouldn't another word for that be just to be called robbery? Would that not be fair? They robbed from the people that have to help keep the property. They stole their income, did they not?
They did. We paid for those people. Yeah, we absolutely.
We did. So that's just another word for robbery, folks. There ain't no free lunch. The number of homeless people counting the streets and the shelters around the U.S. has broadly risen this year, according to Wall Street Journal Review of data from around the nation. The journal reviewed data from 150 entities that count homeless people in areas ranging from cities to entire states. More than 100 places reported increases in early 2023 counts compared with 2022. And collectively, the numbers indicate that the U.S. might see a sharper climb than in the recent years. Most major urban areas reporting data so far have been seeing increases, including Chicago, Miami, Boston, and Phoenix. The increases underscore what advocates for the homeless say is pressure from high housing costs and the end of a temporary pandemic-era protection such as eviction moratoriums. Again, that was totally unconstitutional, totally immoral, to rob from landlords who have to pay to upkeep the property no matter what. And many of the people, I know this for a fact, and people who rent property around here, while they didn't have to pay the rent, they could trash the place because they couldn't kick them out. And they did. They literally did. We have increased homelessness and increased destabilization, said Shannon Islam, chief executive of Community Shelter Board, a government-supported organization. They reported a 22% homeless increase in Columbus, Ohio area. The annual point in time count here, conducted in January 25, found 2,337 homeless people. You know, 2,400 people in a community is a fairly sized community. Good, I mean, our little town, Nettie, got about 400, 500 people in it. So multiply that four or five times, and you'll have the homeless in this one city. And I know, Melody, from traveling to Charleston, West Virginia, over the years for different reasons, you never saw a homeless person in Charleston that I remember seeing for many, many years. You go to Charleston now, you see them on the street corners about everywhere. Something's changed.
And you know what? I don't know the homeless from 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I don't know if they were just alcoholics or what. But I think what's even more disturbing about the homeless is seeing them so drugged up and supported by the local communities. To me, that was, it's, you know, we 30, 40 years ago, we tried to help the homeless. Mm-hmm. We fed them food. You know, your churches, maybe they tried to find them shelter. Now, New York is putting up vending machines so they can buy Narcan and everything else in there. And the first day it was out, it was vandalized and stolen.
I don't think you had to pay for it. I think it was free. I do believe.
The stuff was free, but they vandalized and took everything out of it.
Yes,
the
they
first,
did.
And now New York is looking to put in a couple more. But now they're supporting. How many states are approving marijuana to recreational? It's
and
giving, so
giving
wrong.
Out free needles, giving out free needles to people that need needles. Just come pick
I mean,
them up.
Sometimes I walk out on my back porch and I can smell marijuana. I don't know where it's coming from. Neighbors someplace, I don't know, with the wind blowing it. You go up under the ocean, the boardwalk, you smell it. You walk in stores, you smell it. Somebody walks past you in a restaurant, you smell it. People stink. They do. And I believe in medicinal marijuana, but it should be issued not by people who put up a store in the corner. It should be issued by the pharmacist. It should still be a controlled substance. Oh, I just that's just one that I'll never get over.
Well, that's another step in the direction of a demise of society. We know that. We know that. And it's sad,
it's
but it is what it is. It is
horrible. That we don't care anymore for these human lives. Let's just drug them up. They'll eventually die and get off the street.
And I never watched much TV, hardly at all anymore. It's just something to do with it. I like nature shows. But there's one on TV that Marcia mentioned one time, and she watches one about small homes or people mm-hmm. build little homes or something. I don't remember the name of it. Tiny house. That's what they call it, tiny house. And it looks like it's catching on. Home Depot capitalizes on tiny house craze with 44,000 Gateway pad. You know, this shows how much inflation went up. I paid $28,000 for my house when I bought my father-in-law back in the 1970s. It wasn't a mansion, but it was a house roof on it, you know, and $20,000. Now they call it cheap to put up a tiny home, $44,000, and that's not finished. That's just a frame. The Home Depot is cashing in on the tiny house craze as millions of Americans are priced out of homes due to the worst housing affordability crisis in a generation. Called the Getaway Pad, the 540-square-foot kit home has enough space for living room, kitchen, one four-bathroom, a bedroom, and a roof rack deck accessible by a spiral staircase. The framing kit costs $43,832. Now, that's it, folks. That's just framing kit now. The tiny house's framing kit made by Plus One, Home Depot said, most finishes you'll need to complete your personal space, such as doors, windows, electrical, plumbing, and finishes are available on this website or at stores. So if you had put in the doors, windows, electrical, and plumbing, and finishes, that's going to add, folks, in my mind, a lot more money to it because none of that stuff cheap. So it's going to add $1,000 more to their kit. Home Depot's tiny home kit indicates increasing demand for small dwellings, and that's because National Association of Realtors and Realtor.com recently revealed 75% of homes are too expensive for middle-class buyers. Now, that's really a shocking and sad thing. 75% of homes are now too expensive for people called middle class, which was once a backbone of this country. And those people lived, they weren't rich, but they lived okay. Millions of Americans have been priced out of the market due to high mortgage rates and elevated home prices due to lack of inventory. However, buying land and building a tiny home has been a trend in recent years and gained momentum as the working class has been hit with more than 2 years of negative real wage growth. Some middle-class buyers have abandoned the American dream of owning a home with a white picket fence and opted for affordable mobile homes. A recent report from the RV Industry Association found mobile home demand surged in the first three quarters of 2023. And that in itself is kind of a sad situation. I remember when home owning was a big deal in America. But now the middle-class building can't afford the average home. That is a sad story, isn't it?
You know, it really is. I mean, we've had a housing problem for a very, very long time. There is no affordable housing. But that's not why so many of your homeless are there. But
no, it isn't.
They've got other issues. But, yeah, it is. You know, again, it's a – I think the first home that I purchased was
$80,000. Wow. I mean, what would it cost now for the same home?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just something to think about. I know that my little house, I've done a lot of work to it over the years, but it's worth more than $28,000 to pay for it. I tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just sad to see it. And you probably heard this on the news. I suppose it's covered in some detail in the news. Several U.S. agencies hit in global cyber attack alongside universities and hospitals. Folks, if it's online, it's not secure. Don't trust that anything online is being secure. It's impossible to secure online. On Thursday, U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency announced that several U.S. federal government agencies were hit in what's being acknowledged as a global cyber attack. The attack utilized a vulnerability in widely used software with the agencies have experienced intrusions affecting their MOVEit application, according to a U.S. government statement. We are working urgently to understand impacts and ensure timely remediation, Eric Goldstein, a top U.S. cybersecurity officer, said. Initial suspicion has fallen on a Russian-speaking ransomware group known as Klop, which has claimed responsibility for a similar ongoing attack hacking campaign, which targeted CNN entities ranging from BBC to British Airways to Shell Oil to schools and hospitals, as well as the U.S. state government in the Midwest. CNN reviews of a recent and ongoing hacking campaign says this, but the news adds to a growing tally of victims of a sprawling hacking campaign that began 2 weeks ago and has hit major U.S. universities and state governments. The hacking spree mounts pressure on federal officials who have pledged to put a dent in the scourge of ransomware attacks that have hobbled schools, hospitals, and local governments across the U.S. Folks, if it's online, it's not secure. Forget it.
And you know what? That's amazing. And you know what? That's amazing that that happened. And like very little news, and that's really a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's also a big deal. We're heading to break. We'll be right back. Don't say nay. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And we're heading into the third segment of the break today. It is Monday, June 19th. Butch?
Yes. And this next story, not new finances, but it's a sad story nonetheless. Research says 1 in 4 U.S. children live in fatherless homes, spurring mental health and behavioral issues. You know, Melody, if I read the book right, the master book, we call it the Bible, God made a man and woman, and they had children. And in other words, it was set up again with a husband and wife, male and female, having children and rearing them together. I think that's the way it's supposed to be in all along. But in this country
today, that's the way it works, yeah.
That's the way it works. That's why, and I don't care what anybody says. A daddy who loses his wife for whatever reason, maybe pass away, whatever, or mother lose her husband. They have to do the best they can. But God meant for a man to have influence on the children and a woman to have influence on the children, both of them to their own good. One has to be the leader of the house, so to speak. One is the one that makes a home a home. That's a mother. I don't care what anybody says. A man can build a house. I can build a house and make it warm and comfortable. But Marsha Jean, my wife, has made it into a home. She puts things in the rooms that I would never think about doing. That makes it a home, like a nest for little birds. It makes it a place of comfort and peaceful things. That a man can build a shelter, but he can't make it a home like a woman does. That's why God makes different. But anyway, about 1 in 4 children in the United States are living in fatherless homes, making them far more likely to suffer from mental health and behavioral issues, research details. An issue brief published by the American First Policy Institute finds clear correlations between children raised in fatherless homes and developmental challenges, such as anger problems, violent tendencies, and overall lower educational scores. U.S. Census Bureau data shows that as of 2022, more than 18 million children across the country live in fatherless homes, indicating that about 1 in 4 children do not have father figures in their household. The AFPI brief details the impacts fathers' homes have on well-being of children, specifically their mental health and behavioral development. Now, I don't know how this flies in this politically correct society. Don't know how this organization, AFPI, can put this out without catching a lot of flack, because we don't need daddies anymore. We don't need mommies. We can have 2 daddies, 2 mommies. It makes no difference. We don't need a mom and a dad. But anyway, the effects of broken families have been staggering. Children from fathers' homes are far more worse in overall well-being and mental and behavioral health. These children are often burdened with lower self-esteem than other children, and they do not understand why their fathers abandoned them. This leads to a number of emotional problems like anxiety, social withdrawal, and depression. It also leads to an increased risk of suicide and other forms of self-harm. Some data suggest that 63% of youth suicides are from fathers' homes. Let me repeat that. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, and 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. That's huge, folks. God knew what he was doing. Some data also suggest that children without fathers are also 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substance, and 71% of all children who abuse substance come from fatherless homes. Another study found that 75% of adolescent patients and substance abuse centers are from fatherless homes. Billy, that's so sad. That is so sad. You destroy the family, you destroy society, don't you?
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, that is, that breaks my heart. I grew up with a mom and dad that they were just people. They weren't perfect, but my dad was a good provider. Mom was a good caretaker of the family. I was blessed to have those parents. And up until the day Mom passed away, she was still looking after her 2 boys and her grandchildren. And Dad did the best he could when she passed away to continue, making sure he was there for me and my brother. So, folks, I don't take that for granted anymore. I don't. It breaks my heart to think about children without a mom or a dad, without one or the other being in the home. It does. Blinken meets Yi as China warns U.S. must choose between cooperation or conflict. Wonder who had the upper hand in this meeting. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Chinese President Xi Jinping on Monday as America's top diplomat concluded a flying 2-day visit to Beijing. According to AP, a Blinken-Yi meeting had been expected, but neither side had confirmed it would happen until just an hour before talks, which are seen as key to the success of the trip. News of the diplomatic head-to-head came after China told the U.S. earlier in the day that it must choose between cooperation or conflict with Beijing, as both countries seek to navigate a diplomatic way forward amid fraught relations between the world's 2 largest economies. Wang Yi, China's highest-ranking foreign policy official, told U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken of the terms and conditions during his final day of the 48-hour trip to communist country. The pair spoke for 3 hours on Monday at the ornate state guest house in the ancient Dao Ti Gardens, according to a State Department official. So Wang Yi met with Blinken, said these are going to be the terms you're going to meet today, and it's going to be cooperation or conflict. Maybe you were right. In this case, Blinken went in as a weaker of the two. You agree?
Yes, absolutely.
So the United States has lost its marketing power. It's lost respect to the world for a lot of reasons. China likely sending military personnel into U.S., Homeland Chair says. Now, folks, we covered this on my broadcast at least a month ago with one of our guests. Military-age men, Chinese crossing the border by the thousands, and now Homeland Security says it's happening. What a coincidence. And now we see troop movements inside this country with Osprey helicopters and trains full of military armored vehicles and tanks going down the streets of cities and all around the country, folks, and dropping troops off in the cities in civilian clothes. This is not something that this isn't normal. They don't do this, but they are. House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Mark Green, Republican from Tennessee, on Wednesday said China is likely sending military personnel to the United States across the southern border. At a press conference announcing an investigation to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, Green said there are Chinese nationals, many of whom are military-age men with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, who have crossed the southern border and been released into the United States. Melody, do you think that's just a coincidence?
I'm not a big believer in coincidences.
I'm not either. We have no idea who these people are, and it's very likely, using Russia's template of sending military personnel to Ukraine, China's doing the same in the United States, Green also said. Now, he said he has no idea who these people are. Well, if they know that the Chinese nationals, military age, I think, they have ties to the Chinese Communist Party, I think, Mr. Green, you should know who they are, probably. Revelation came from a Border Patrol chief, Sector Chief Green said, adding that he expects a classified briefing on the matter in the near future. The House Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday released a preliminary report on the border stating that apprehension of Chinese nationals at the border have skyrocketed. Overall, at the southern border, nearly 10,000 Chinese migrants were encountered at the border from October 22 through April 23, per the latest federal data. In comparison, during the last fiscal year, which ran from October 21 through September 22, less than 2,200 Chinese migrants were encountered at the border. So it's went up five times at least. And no, folks, this is not a coincidence. They're not coming here wanting a better life. They're coming in with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, and they're not coming here for the 4th of July picnic. Any comments, Melody?
No, sir.
As Russia prepares to use tactical nukes, millions of you don't even realize you're going to die in a third world war. Michael Snyder put this out. What is it going to be to take to wake people up? Russia is deploying tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus, and there is lots of talk in the Russian media about using such weapons to bring a quick end to the war in Ukraine. The theory that once the Russians show that they are willing to use tactical nukes, the U.S. and the other Western powers will back off. But that won't be what happens. Instead of backing off, the Biden administration will respond by using U.S. tactical nuclear weapons against Russia's targets in Ukraine. And once both sides have used tactical nukes, it's just a matter of time before the big nukes get used. This war could have been avoided at the negotiating table long before it ever started, but that didn't happen. And we could still have a negotiated solution, but at this point, both sides are not interested in peace talks at all. So we will continue to steamroll down the road that leads to nuclear conflict. Both sides just continue to escalate matters over and over again. And even Vladimir Putin is admitting that this could easily cause a third world war. Putin, speaking at a meeting with Russian war correspondents in Moscow, you should say the United States pretends not to be afraid of an escalation of the conflict in Ukraine. But sane people there clearly do not want to take this to a third world war. I think we need to pay attention to that, Melody. I think it's a very dire warning. I think the guy's right on. Any comments on that?
No, he usually does a lot of research before he writes anything. So, you know, the things he writes, I pay attention to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everyone that has any sense at all is watching this can see that this war, ever since it started, 15, 16 months ago in February, whatever it was, a year ago, we see what's happening here, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. More NATO nations getting involved, more Russia's allies getting involved. We know we have troops on the ground in Ukraine already. That's been admitted to. And how many other NATO nations, Mel, do you think has troops on the ground? Maybe not just in Ukraine, maybe on the Russian border now also. And now they're moving nukes around like checkers or pawns in a chessboard game. That sounds kind of scary to me. Does it you?
Yeah, I mean, and you just look at the big things. A lot of those things we don't know about, but I mean, what we do know about is, yeah, you know, they're going to be recognizing Ukraine as and support Ukraine just as though they were a NATO member. You've got the UK shipping depleted uranium to Ukraine. The missiles or whatever. We're thinking of doing the same thing, giving them fighter planes that they require. I mean, come on. How can you not see the direction this is headed to? And there's been multiple times where requests to have some sort of talks have been denied. And yep. So they don't want this to come to an end.
I know there's a reason behind this madness. Somebody that's behind it wants these things to happen, have a reason for some gain of wealth or power. I don't know, Melody. But how can anyone believe that anyone can win a nuclear war? If you survive the war, how long will it be before this earth is fit to inhabit again? And the ones who planned this, what did they plan to do for the years that's going to be more or less a wilderness, nothing there? What are they planning on doing with their lives? Living underground? I mean, when you stop and think about this, if there's all that nuclear war with the nuclear powers in this world getting involved, there's not going to be much left of any country, is there?
No, even if they don't use nuclear weapons, I mean, they've got other nuclear weapons that will have, you know, well, not nuclear weapons, but other devices that'll make it feel just as bad, like debt, like dumping, oh, yeah. With China, I mean, there's so much that they can do. And withhold. You know, the first segment of the program is we're still paying. You know, American companies are still paying Russia $1 billion a year. I mean, it's nuts.
It is nuts. It totally is nuts.
We get all our pharmaceuticals from China. What, you don't think? And all of a sudden, we hear all these shortages. What, you think all of a sudden people are just using more and more drugs? No, that's bigger than that. I would put money on it that China is withholding the shipments of pharmaceuticals to this nation. And if you think anything different, geez.
Well, whenever the Chinese is either cooperation or conflict, that should tell you who's in charge. It's not us. It's not the U.S. The U.S. has lost about all respect in the world, period. There's no hope of this country, ever gaining any respect in the world. Not biblically nor historically, this nation ever come back from what it's done to itself. I know that sounds harsh, but I'm not going to back down from what I say because I know I'm right on that. That's America today. Sad story, but true. Mm-hmm. It truly, I mean, yeah. it just breaks my heart to see this happen to our country. I grew up in this country. I respected this country. Grew up in a country with somewhat of a decent place to live. Middle-income families and even lower middle-income families could at least pay their bills. They could have a nice little home to live in. They could rear their children in a school system that still had some moral values. They thought the children were right from wrong, and they were safe to go to school. They didn't worry about having a policeman in the schools. We didn't have that kind of nonsense. It wasn't tolerated. Matter of fact, we could even take guns to school back in. These are things that's changed. They even give shooting lessons in school. What happened to America? What happened to our country? What happened to the land I grew up in that I was so blessed to be in between the time they understand and appreciate it? Now they look back on it, I see what all we lost. And it seriously makes me want to cry to see what my children and grandchildren are going to face. Melody, what do you want to say in closing?
We'll be back tomorrow. We're just out of time. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me